anytime I expected Jagger to do X, he did Y. So the times I expected him to be nice, he was a jerk. The times I expected him to be a total jerk, he was a complete gentleman.
It's true. And of course, most people have the myth, which is of this narcissistic, prancing fop who has a sexual appetite to rival Casanova's, last longer than Casanova's did. But there is a more complex character behind this, you know, this iconic sort of sexual, almost a kind of Mephistophelian figure that's sort of in most people's minds. And there's a bit of insecurity, vulnerability. He can be quite emotional, but he has always tried never to show emotion, to be cool. But actually, people who want to be cool, there's something missing there. You know, they're afraid to show something of themselves. They just want to be languid and non-committal all the time. That isn't really a sort of fully sensate human being, or it's an insecure human being.
What's your, you've got like a little acronym for that coolness factor.
Yes, well, it's the tyranny of cool, which means that he tyrannizes himself into not showing emotion. But any sort of woman who's tried to have a meaningful relationship with him, or certainly up until Jerry Hall, could not do it. It was like trying to sort of make love to a Dalek. You know, there were these sheets of sort of reflecting metal, and then somewhere inside was buried the real creature.
On the other hand, even though the women don't, he seems to be like, his kids seem to just adore him.
That's another paradox, yes. You see, there's a melancholy history of treating women badly, not every one, and not when he was first starting out as a very young man. He had two relationships where both the women say he was sweet, charming, vulnerable, generous. But in general, his record with women is rather dismal, and yet he has seven children by four different women, and we know what rock stars' kids tend to be like, but these rock star kids aren't screwed up, and they adore their father. And
they even like each other.
And they even like each other, yes. They treat each other as brothers and sister from, you know, so different sort of mothers, you know. And you would think they would be competitiveness. No, they really think he's a wonderful dad.
Until I read the book, I always thought the Stones was mixed band.
Brian Jones formed the Stones. He held auditions for a blues band. And the Stones were originally a blues band, and Brian gave them the name Rolling Stones, originally Rollin Stones, after a Muddy Waters song. And the idea of sort of being vagabonds and troubadours and Rolling Stones was also there. And Brian had brought them together, and eventually Brian was marginalized and finally left the band that he had created. Brian was himself, I mean, always mischievous and intriguing and deeply political, but then so was Mick, and the alliances always shifted. But what really mattered was that Mick and Keith started to write songs, and Brian couldn't write songs, kept trying. Andrew Oldham, the most inspirational manager that any pop group has ever had, including Brian Epstein, tried to give him a chance to write songs, but he couldn't do it. Paired him with Gene Pitney, actually, at one point. And once Mick and Keith were the songwriters, then Brian was gradually pushed to the margins and eventually out.
There are so many layers happening here. Because, I mean, he's not a dumb guy at all. He's London School of Economics.
Extremely bright, astute, observant, funny, literate. Strangely, for someone who is so sort of verbally bright, who could write a lyric like the lyric to Sympathy for the Devil, has always been the least interesting one in conversation. He's a bit like British royalty. You think you're having a conversation with a member of the royal family and they've said nothing at all. It's the same with Jagger. Look at any book called, you know, The Rolling Stones in Their Own Words. There's pages and pages by Keith and Bill Wyman and even by Charlie, but Mick, the fewest quotes always, and not interesting at all.
And claims not to remember anything.
Well, that's the weirdest thing. I mean, that's almost, to me, a kind of psychosis, quite honestly, because with a career like that, with things that have happened, the career highs and lows in his career, impossible to remember going to Brixton Prison or meeting Muddy Waters or reading a Shelley poem in Hyde Park to 250,000 hippies. It's a way of sort of fending off awkward questions about his sex life, which is all most people are interested in. But it does cancel out these amazing achievements. He never bothers to correct any of the mythology, because the mythology really is what makes the millions. But for instance, you know, he's gone down in history as playing a very dishonorable part at the Altamont Festival, where someone was stabbed to death by Hell's Angels. And it's all said to be down to mixed narcissism and vanity and callousness that it happened, because the stones were playing sympathy for the devil, and that unleashed some satanic force among the Hell's Angels. They weren't playing sympathy for the devil. They were playing Under My Thumb in a kind of Muzak version to calm down the crowd. And Mick that day showed a lot of courage, because the Hell's Angels were all on the stage. The stage was only about 3 feet high. It shouldn't have been built there. And many of these Hell's Angels were looking at Mick as if they wanted to stab him. But he and the Grateful Dead, who had organized the whole thing, fled. But the Stones and Mick finished the show. That was really impressive.
Did you like him?
I started off from a sort of positive thinking that he was very much to be admired, although there were certain things that one could satirize. And I wouldn't ever write a biography like Albert Goldman used to do, you know, just someone I hated. But I did find a lot more to like, because when he's good, he is very, very good. When he's admirable, he's very, very admirable.
And when he's bad, he's better. We like him more. When he's bad.
Exactly. But also it's that thing of, even if your subject is a monster, you have to love your monster. And he's not a monster, but he could be monstrous.
It's a fascinating read. Well done.
Thank you.
The book is Mick Jagger. I've been speaking with the biography author, Philip Norman, and Mick Jagger, published by Doubleday Canada.